In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. The beginning of today's gospel, when Jesus goes and sees the man born blind from birth, the disciples begin to have a debate as to, and ask Jesus, why was this man, was it his own sins, or was it the sins of his parents? And they're asking this question was really not off base. Within the Jewish tradition, within the Old Testament, and depending on which rabbi is interpreting it, you could see that the sins of the parents were visited upon their children. And this was used in two different ways. One way was to scare parents, because to recognize that, and this is actually still true to some extent, that the parent sins, that the parent breaks the law of God and lives in an ungodly way, in any way, and that somehow it just passes down generationally, that the children and the children's children pick up these sins as though sinning itself changes our very DNA and becomes inheritable. The other way it was used, and also this was condemned by Ezekiel, or God said they could no longer use this, is that oftentimes the children, when they were sinning, would say, well, what can we do? You know, we had these parents that you gave us. And so they essentially, this idea that the sins are passed down from the father. So I mean, well, my father was sinful. What do you want me to do? Look at what I've inherited. And in Ezekiel, our Lord condemns us. He very clearly says, you're not guilty because of your father's sins. You're guilty because you do it. You participate in it. And you are wicked. This is not simply a holdover. However, it's also a little bit of a ridiculous question about this blind man, because he's born blind. So obviously it wouldn't be his sins unless they bought into this notion, which some do buy into, that somehow we are predisposed and we are even sinful in our mother's wombs. And that was a teaching going around as well. So the disciples ask this question, and the question in a broader sense that we also ask is, why suffering? Why? What is causing this man's suffering, being born blind, being blind? And that's where we can connect with this equation. And Jesus goes on to say that it is neither this man nor his parents who sinned. He dispels the interpretation that they might have had. And then he says, in a very confusing in the English and also in the Greek, he says that the glory of God may be manifest in him. And just to be clear, God doesn't make this man blind so that he can somehow come along later and show his glory. All the fathers universally attribute to say that the transition in Greek indicates more so that this man will be glorified, but it wasn't. You know, there's a lot of times when Jesus says, for this cause I came into the world, or because of this. And when you read the passages, you'll realize that there isn't a direct correlation, and that in some ways it requires interpretation. God did not make this man blind and torture him for his whole life just so he could heal him on this day and everybody would believe. That's not what our teaching is. Now, Jesus heals the blind man, and this is meant to be a spiritual parable for us. We're supposed to identify and connect with this somehow, and so I was contemplating all the ways in which we find ourselves blind. And all of our blindness, of course, leads to suffering. And this also ties into answering that question a little bit, why we suffer. We suffer partially because we're blind. We're blind in the sense of our nature. We do inherit our parents'... we do inherit the sins of our parents sometimes. Genetically, we're predisposed towards certain things that are within our genealogy. Beyond the genetics, we're also raised in families. And these families, these cultures within families are often very knowledgeable about certain things and completely blind about everything, other things. So you have the classic psychological nature and nurture. Beyond that, we also heap upon ourselves our own sins, our own ideologies. And as we do these things, we create what psychologists would call confirmation bias, which is that the person who goes out into the world, whether he be looking at politics or food or religion, that his own heart is predisposed only to see that which his heart is predisposed to see. This is one of the reasons for some of our political arguments being so strong, is a complete blindness to each other, an inability to see out of the box that we create for ourselves and the people around us. So we have those, and we have our sins, which our sins darken our hearts. Our sins cause us, you've heard that he was blind with rage. He was blinded by lust. He was blinded by envy. Of the eight deadly sins, each single one, as we partake of it in any small way, it blinds us. It gives us spots where logically and illogically we simply don't see, even though we have eyes to see and ears to hear. So the example of this blindness in today's gospel, of this sort of extreme blindness, is that, you know, this blind man who's been healed stands before the Pharisees and said, "What a marvel it is that no one has ever healed someone like myself ever, and yet you are debating on where he is from." This contrast between shows us the type of spiritual blindness that we're not immune to, and that we can also live within our lives. Now Jesus heals this blind man and washes him, and the fathers will all emphasize, of course, with any physical healing, that the most important part is the conversion of his soul. That his soul, that the eyes of his soul are opened. The miraculous part is what's going to grab the headlines. But the confession of faith at the end of the gospel shows that his heart has been illumined and opened, and that not only does he see with his physical eyes, which he didn't have before, but now he has spiritual sight. He sees reality clearly. And that's precisely the message that we need to hear. The only person who can cure our spiritual blindness is Jesus Christ. The only person who has the ability to help us see reality in any sort of clarity is Jesus Christ. Now, I was raised by some wise, kind of earthy wisdom sort of family, you know. There was a lot of pithy things and earthly wisdom, and I'm not criticizing that. And we encounter, I'm sure you encounter those people in your day-to-day. Not to criticize earthly wisdom, because it's good to be wise in an earthly way, but St. James says that some of that wisdom that we understand, that kind of folksy knowledge about humanity and about the world, that some of that is even influenced by demons. But the point that I'll make here is that, not that it's simply demonic, that earthly wisdom sometimes can be demonic, but that it's simply created wisdom. It is simply, this is the other area that we're blind in. We see things as created beings, fallen created beings on a broken earth and broken situations, interpreting from a limited perspective with all the other issues I mentioned before. To really see, to really want to see, is not to simply have folksy earthly wisdom, but it is to see as God sees. So, think about it. Jesus asks you to love your enemies. Why can't you do it? It's because you're blind. Jesus asks you to love God. Why can't you do it? You're blind somehow. Jesus asks you to serve other people, to love other people. He asks you to do the commandments. And why aren't you doing them? You're not seeing the picture. You don't get the image. You don't know what's fully going on. You're broken. And so when we think of the terms of Jesus healing the blindness of our souls, the healing the blindness of this blind man, we can think that it's always with the purpose that we would see reality from God's perspective and not only within our limited earthly broken perspective that we have. So, the only one who can cure us is God. The only one who can illuminate us is Jesus Christ. Let us go to Him. If we experience suffering in our life, if we find ourselves blind in certain areas, if we find ourselves frustrated because we inherited the sicknesses of our parents and we've built towers upon them, then the only person we can go to is our Lord Jesus Christ, to ask Him to heal us, to illumine us, so that we can begin to be transformed and see reality the way that God sees it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
Amen.